pase. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Thursday, February 20th, 2020. Dwayne, I'm so excited. You know, it's CONCACAF Champions League last night. I stayed up late, did a special podcast for patrons only on the CCL. That I'm too quick on the trigger, you know, and I actually put the video too quickly, and there was my face instead. So, hello everyone, welcome to Soccer Today, and Kevin's excited about the CCL.
That's good to be excited about things. It is, as I tweeted out last night at First Kick, the start of the Canadian domestic season. Obviously, we covered the North American game here, so we celebrated the start of the American one, but we are in Canada, so let's celebrate that too, and it was good to see the Impact back out there and seeing people tweeting on there about stuff that's going on, seeing Impact fans excited, seeing TFC fans trying to cheer against them, seeing neutral fans just wondering not what Henry's going to do. It was fun.
Oh, yeah, and it was a fun game, too. Of course, we'll break down that game. If you want to know more about the Montreal Impact and my thoughts on the game, Off the Woodworks is available for Patreons only at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. But Dwayne, 2-2. A tale of two halves, like Thierry Henry would say after the game. Montreal Impact played a great first half. Saprissa played a great second half for a very good game, 2-2. Montreal did look better than anticipated, but also, like, absorbed a lot. Like, 28.4% of the possession from Montreal, 71.6% for Saprissa. So you're looking at a total domination on the possession part. Montreal were better on the air than I anticipated, but Saprissa late in the game, Dwayne, it was always going to be difficult. It was always going to be in the last 20 minutes. Saprissa, they're 9 games into their Clausura season, halfway through their season already. They have mid-season form. Their legs are, they're strong, they're fit, and they're endurant. And that was the big, big difference here. From the 70th minute to the 90th minute, that's where Montreal did not have the same amount of energy left in their tanks, and Saprissa were able to take advantage.
No, it certainly the last 20 minutes of that game was pretty one-way traffic, and it was a situation where Montreal was definitely holding on for dear life. But they do have the two road goals that they got in that first 20 minutes, which was the opposite, because I think really what you saw here was two teams that illustrate their differences. Montreal has more talent. Even this rebuilding Montreal team has more talent than a Costa Rican Premier League team. They just simply do. The MLS teams have surpassed Costa Rica clearly in the talent.
Sorry, Dwayne, I don't mean to interrupt. I just want to give you an example of what you're saying right now. The salary cap, well, there's no salary cap in Costa Rica. The worth, according to Transfer Market, the worth of Saprissa is 6.5. The worth of the Montreal Impact is 13.5, so it's the double.
Yeah, and that's Montreal is probably one of the lesser worth teams in MLS, right? So it would definitely be a situation where you have more talent on the field. But the problem with the CCL, as always, is it's in February. And this is a Montreal team that has, just really kind of worked into its form. They started training camp a week or so earlier than the rest of the teams. But that said, they weren't exactly ripping it up in preseason. Put preseason results on a shelf, though. They don't really matter, except for there was some troubling inability to score for the Impact there.
But there's also the fact that Thierry Henry actually mentioned it in the post game yesterday. There was it was in two shots, right? The training camp was in two shots. And because of the weather, because of traveling to Florida and then coming back to Montreal for some events here in town and going back to Florida, you don't have a full training camp, right? You don't have a uninterrupted training camp where you can get shit done. No, you have to go back to Montreal, get your little bum frozen for a second, display the new jersey, meet the fans, and then go back to training. That actually impeded their performance, according to Thierry Henry's post-game presser.
For sure, and I'm surprised they did that. I mean, obviously, we saw the Impact a few years ago when they were last in the CCL. They had a long training camp in Mexico to prepare for the Mexican opposition, right? So it is surprising they didn't do it again, but I guess maybe because of sort of declining interest in the market based on the performance last year, they might have felt that they needed to be back in Montreal for that event. So
I think it's also in 2015, it was a different time. There was a lot of there was a new marketing director that was with the Impact. There was a new like executive there, and they used the Champions League as a testing ground for some ideas and for marketing. If we go back, make history, Marquons l'Histoire was a big undertaking by the marketing direction. They won prizes from Major League Soccer for their work in the front office of the Montreal Impact for that marketing campaign. And that was something big, but there's millions of dollars that were involved in this, right? So
yeah,
that's what you see the difference this time around.
Certainly, yeah. It's just every MLS team, it's becoming much more of a – MLS is becoming much more individual, right, than it has in the past. And the past, you often saw every MLS team run their training camp the exact same way if they were Northern. They did exactly what Montreal did. They'd start in the city. They'd have their media day. They'd go down to Florida or Arizona or California, and then they'd come back up for about a week in the middle, and then they'd go back down, and they would play a tournament somewhere in there, Disney.
Or, I was going to say Disney or the Arizona. There was two. There was the Disney Cup, and there was the Arizona Invitational. Those were the two big
tournaments. Charleston had one for a while, too, the Charleston two? Battery. But
oh, Battery. Yeah. Oh, my God. Bringing back names from the Willamette here this morning.
Yeah, well, Charleston's in League One now, so along with TFC 2. So anyway, we get to see them still kicking around. But yeah, that was kind of the format. But now you see like Montreal doing it that way, the kind of the traditional way. You see a team like TFC that, you know, was in Toronto for literally 12 hours and haven't been seen since. They just disappeared to California. Don't blame them. It's -7 right now, so you guys enjoy yourself. It's, yeah, just different approaches for different things, and that's a good thing. But in terms of the performance last night, look, the legs can't be helped in this time of the year. The only troubling aspect I would say that I have if I'm an Impact fan is it does mirror a little bit of the behavior of last year, where they were giving up a lot of late goals when they were have legs.
But, so, yeah, but it's like circumstantial though. Like if you actually look that game, it's not that we weren't trying. Like the guy were well positioned, but like they were missing that little like the last bite of that granola bar. He should have got it. You saw example Boyan going after one ball late in the game. He just sees the ball going over there. He's like, yeah, I don't have a shot at that ball. I'm not running. I'm just going to wait here. That's a bit what the lack of energy. Like Samuel Piet mentioned after the game that he can't wait to see the data of the GPS for the last 20 minutes compared to the – because you'll see a drastic drop point. And I think that's what cost Montreal. If you're looking at, I don't have it in front of me, and I don't have the screens, but if you look at Off the Woodworks video show from last night, all the stats are there, and it's clear. 80 minute one goal, 90th minute the other goal. The trend of okay, the possession was dominated by Saprissa, but more and more, the Impact had good stint to begin the game, and then more the game go on, the more that Saprissa found ways to be really, I would say, dangerous, and they're good. Saprissa is a good team. The way they were passing the ball, going back in the middle, using Venegas, Bolaños, former Major League Soccer players. Roy Miller had a decent game. Who would have thought that possible? Okay, maybe not the first half he conceded. He was maybe responsible for one of the two goals on the Impact. But Saprissa, we got to give Saprissa credit. They're mid-season form. They're second in the table in the Costa Rican Premier Division. They are a really, really good team. That maybe we don't give enough credit, and oh, it's Costa Rica, it's not Mexico, Montreal should do better. I think a two-goal, like, if you would have told me before the game that, Kevin, are you happy with a 2-2 draw in Costa Rica? I mean, yeah. Then the game effect happened. The game circumstances with the 2-0 lead, you had a feeling that Montreal deserved better. But of course, it's CONCACAF, and let's not forget. What happens in the last 20 minutes of a CONCACAF game? Well, exactly what happened last night. Ask Portmore. Ask Portmore United how they feel about their CONCACAF game on Tuesday.
Or Impact fans that can remember Central Laguna, I'm sure. It's obviously hard to hold on, and you're dealing with a lot of stuff at that particular point. Look, a couple things, too, that you have to consider. Obviously, there were two subs in the first half that were forced upon the Impact.
Exactly.
If
that's
you're able
very
to
true.
Have a tactical sub situation in there, then maybe this is a different scenario, right? And that's something to consider as well.
Oh, absolutely agreed, Wayne. The fact that Camacho was subbed off injured, and the fact that also Okonkwo had to be subbed out injured, one at the 22nd minute and one at the 17th minute or so. So 26 minutes in, you already have two subs if you're Thierry Henry. And then that's where you're seeing late in the game, that 20 minutes, that's where it hurts too. Because if you're Thierry Henry, one of your substitution was not going to be a center back, right? You were not going to spend a substitution on a center back. You were probably going to switch Boyan for Urruti or something like that. But because of Okonkwo, you got to switch. So, yeah, there's a lot. Speaking of injuries, Dwayne, according to the latest report, it's a knee injury for Rudy Camacho of the Impact, and it's a glute, high hamstring, maybe strain, maybe preventive measures for Okonkwo. Let's hope that these players are okay, because the second leg is coming fast and there's travels involved, and there's also practicing in a cold environment in Montreal this week. Of course, Olympic Stadium will be the place where Montreal plays their game. But even Kyoto was subbed out late in the game, Dwayne, with what seems to be cramps. A lot of players had cramps and discomfort yesterday. The first 90 minutes of your season, it was always going to be the case. But let's talk about Kyoto for a second. Okay, a lot. We know what happened with Houston in the past, and the things in the locker room, and the wives of other players, whatever the case may be. What a player, though. I seen him play last night, and I was like, oh my lord. Who? Ignacio? Who? And it doesn't matter. It's going to be a committee, and Romel Kyoto is leading that committee already. Scoring on his debut, performing well. Man of the match with the Impact last night. His movement, I said that earlier this week. I said this earlier this week. Because of his nationality, of experience in CONCACAF, I knew it was going to be useful in this. But he actually impressed me even more. He surpassed my expectation in that game. Yeah, he will be important for the Impact this year.
Well, look, and past behavior aside, which is, you know, a little soap opera-y, it doesn't really matter when you're in a new scenario, right? So long as he doesn't repeat the behavior. So you would hope that a lesson was learned there, and he'll find his entertainment outside of the dressing room. That said, you know, like you said, it's going to be a replacement by committee, as you implied there. And you know, jokes aside, you probably will at times this year go, oh, I remember the Nacho guy. I got it.
Yeah, you're right.
That's who we're missing there. But yeah, no, it's a solid creative influence there for sure. And look, the Impact, as you said yesterday, depth is the issue. And obviously, you don't want to go down a defender, particularly last night. But Waterman did step in, and I thought performed quite well. I don't know whether that's my own Campiel
design
is coming through. But
it's not. Oliver Platt was also enjoying Waterman's time and on TV. And this was fun. Of course, my tweet of the night yesterday that got some traction was, couple of months ago, USL, PDL. So from PDL to CPL to CCL in just a few months.
Yeah, and that's what we want to see from the Campiel teams. It looks like Didich might be coming back to Edmonton. So Waterman will be flying the flag in MLS this year for Campiel in terms of people that have moved on. We won't, you know, Borges is out of sight, out of mind now.
Yeah, but Sissoko in Vancouver might have a contract too, former Wanderers, so maybe there's that too.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a few, but Waterman, look, I think he has a good chance. I always felt that was a really savvy signing by the Impact, because it's cheap, and it's a guy that plays a role and knows what his role is, and that can be effective. And for him to jump in and sort of get his feet wet immediately against Saprissa, which is a team that's probably equatable talent to the bottom of MLS.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, it's a decent one. And of course, he would have seen MLS competition last year and defeated it. So it's, you know.
Well, MLS competition. It was Vancouver,
MLS,
after all.
Quotations. So we're talking about
it. Sorry. Stop throwing things at me, Vancouver. It's just a joke. I'm just happy. I'm in a good mood. Would you just leave me alone?
Just thank Cincinnati there, guys.
Oh, my God. Just thank. Just be happy that Cincinnati exists, that they can actually finish the last. Yeah, just to go back on yesterday, Dwayne. Kyoto, good for the Impact. Of course, Diop was starting goalkeeper for the Impact. There was a couple of moments where it could have been different, but it's never really the goalkeeper's fault. Of course, I take this result as a positive result. Going back to Montreal now. Montreal, with any draws, any win scenario, they go through. It's about losing, though. They cannot lose. That's the one thing they cannot do, is lose at home next Wednesday. But the fact that they scored twice in Costa Rica, Of course, if they would have won 2-0, tickets would have been flying off the shelf. I would say they would be going selling like crazy today and tomorrow. Now with a 2-2 draw, you might be selling a bit more ticket. Hopefully, you can get at least 25,000 to 30,000 in the Big O. I'm not that confident. Hopefully, you can. That's where the big win would have maybe helped the Impact too, is to sell a few tickets in the weekend.
For sure. I mean, you know, barring a 3-3 draw or more, like a high scoring draw, they're through on any draw or win. So that is a benefit, as you say. I was poking around the ticket site the other day, and it does look like they're, at least in the secondary market, that they're priced at a point that suggests to me that there is some demand for these things. I don't know, you know, I don't think you're going to see 2015 numbers here, but...
Oh, no, the upper bowl is not open. Like that we can probably guarantee, unless drastic changes happen in the next week and the tickets start selling like crazy. I think the lower bowl should be what is expected. Like, people should not feel bad that there's not 60,000 people to watch a game. 30,000 is still 10,000 more than there is at Stan Saputo. So take it from what it is.
And there wasn't in 2015 either in that quarterfinal stage.
No.
Bowl was not open until the...
No, it was.
I think they opened in the semis, did they not?
No, it was for the first game. Pachuca was full. Pachuca was there like 55 or something.
Oh, yeah, because they pushed it. Yeah,
because it was pushed for a year before or 6 months, right? The Alajuelense one was different. Alajuelense had a lot less people. But then you go to Club America, and that was full once again because it's the final.
Yeah, and the loudest building I've ever been in when the Impact
scored. Oh, my God. I still have that audio. Like, and I don't know if you remember. I made you listen to that audio.
We were beside each other, but I couldn't hear you.
It was literally like it's a three-sprung type of audio. One day I'll put it out. You can't hear anything, but you just hear like... Like, the microphone broke. It's like over 150 decibels. It was still the weirdest and the loudest noise. I don't know if it's the concrete of the Olympic Stadium or the old concrete mixed with whatever it was back then that's absorbed and almost... It's almost generated like a speaker, right? Then the way it's made... I don't know. It was... it's 5 years ago now. But that was a crazy time.
I think it's the ghost of Natalie Comaneci or something screaming out too or something. Well, yeah, no,
Natalie Comaneci was never in the Southern Olympic, though. The gymnastics with the Forum of Montreal. Come on. You should know that.
Opening and closing ceremonies. But nonetheless, no, 2016, when the Impact scored their goals in the first half against TFC, it was pretty loud too. And it's the same thing. It's like it's the echo, right? Because it starts to go and it starts to bounce.
And then it hits a pinnacle. You're like, where's my ears? Anyone seen my inner ear? Can you give it back?
I'd say what it sounded like when Toronto scored, but I was too busy like – getting pushed literally feet off the ground from the people around me. Not a word of lie, I moved 10 feet when TFC scored their second goal by the surge of the crowd. It's not really a safe place to stand. Anyway.
They call it safe standing, though. No?
I bruises all down my leg. It was crazy, that game. Anyway, we're getting off topic now.
It's fine. It's CCL day. It's a CCL fever. We're just a little sick, so we can go on tangents. But yeah, it's good. It's a good result for the Impact. Is it perfect? No. Is Thierry Henry super happy? No. He was a little frustrated. He mentioned his post-game comment, but he also mentioned that, you know, gotta be proud of my guys. They tried all the way to the end. What do you want me to tell them? Like, we need to work on things. Yes, there were mistakes. Yes, but they worked. They tried. They gave everything they had. And at this point of the season, maybe that's all that Montreal had. And it's okay. It's January 19th. It's February 19th. If this was regular, like normal 2 years ago, regular MLS, we're still like 3 weeks away from a regular season game. So you see that happen. A couple of other results last night in the CCL. A surprising one. Actually, two surprising ones. Alianza 2, Tigres 1. Tigres actually scored first. And Tigres had a decent team, like 60% starters. Like Pierre-André Ginac was playing and other players were playing for Tigres. Alianza scored twice in the second half and came back into this game winning versus Tigres. Of course, Mexican club, home and away series in the CONCACAF. It doesn't mean anything until the second half of the second leg, you're going to say. And you're right. Alianza is probably going to lose next week, and Tigres probably going to score a couple goals in the Volcano in the second half. And Comunicación, Club America, 1-1. Club America will probably do the same thing. Second half at Estadio Azteca of the second leg. They'll score 3-4 goals. We've seen that movie before. And usually That's how it finishes.
Yeah, Tigres has a very weird relationship with the CCL. They have undoubtedly been the best club in maybe North America overall in the last 10 years. But they have not been able to win this competition. And everyone around the club says that it's a priority to get it, that they want to be crowned champions of North America. They want to go to the Club World Cup in whatever form it's going to look like. And soon they want to do all these things. But they, at the same time, the coaching staff and the technical staff doesn't necessarily back that up with some of the decisions they've made. But, and maybe they just have bad luck too. Because I think back to the 2018, like that team was still the best team I've ever seen in a competitive game live. They were so good and so professional. The organization is so slick. It's hard to articulate it if you don't know what it looks like. But the game day operations, the way these people came in, they had support staff in the hundreds. It was just insane watching
It's a military operation. It literally feels like a military operation the way it's run. It's perfectly everything is like perfect.
Yeah, it's clearly at a different level than what Major League Soccer is when they walk in, you know, and the media that follows them, and you have all these like Spanish media people and their inclination to have the world's most attractive women as their media persons. It's all over. It's a very strange scenario there.
But you know, the whole like politically correct thing and the whole 2020 like equality and like done for the right reason and you're on TV because you're good at what you do and you know what you do. Yeah, that's not worldwide. You go to South America all the way to Mexico, you still have what we call, the macho factor. Is that a good way to describe it?
Yeah, I'm sure these women are perfectly capable of what they do, but they also have not completely been hired for their journalistic CVs.
Well, they might be the best journalistic CV, but they were hired before like me because, they don't look like me.
At any rate, yes. I always remember Aaron Venter, who was a gruff, sort of sour Dutch kind of person walking into a media room, and he wouldn't really even look at us when he answered questions. But there was this one South American reporter there for some reason. It must have been CCL. And he actually got up and hugged her. So anyway, that's a little side tale for there. You can put that in. I can remember.
Can you imagine that happening now? Like, a hug? Okay. We're going to get some complaints here.
At any rate, yeah. It was a different time. Different time, 2011. Different time, 2012, I guess it was. Anyway. Ross, we're getting way off topic today. Is it Friday yet?
It's tomorrow. Can you believe? Friday's tomorrow. I feel like it's Friday today too, but no, it's tomorrow.
I'll say this about this round of CCL, and I'm looking forward to seeing the games tonight, obviously. They've been closer than they have in the past, and that's a decent thing. You're right with the Mexican teams. They will probably turn it on in the second legs. They will probably win. They're better. They're just more talented. And there's motivational issues, and they're trying to rotate a bit. Certainly, you know, the Cruz Azul game, they rotated a great deal, a little bit through Tigres, but they know that they can turn the screw a little bit in the second half and probably get through, and they're really just setting up to play each other in a few weeks' time. But by and large, you know, Costa Rica gave a good push back there. The MLS teams have not looked great overall. Montreal's probably looked the best of three, but it's hard to gauge that because of the competition. And it's been a positive that the competition has been competitive. That's what competition should be, right?
A competition should be competitive. I guess that makes sense. But no, you're right, Wayne. And there is no blowout. That's what I was telling you this morning off air. Like, there's no blowout so far. And I say so far because second halves might the biggest blowout so far is Lyon versus LAFC. There might be a blowout tonight, though. I wouldn't be surprised if either NYCFC blow out San Carlos or Seattle blows out Olympia or not. But those are the two games tonight you can watch. Of course, FS1 and on TSN, I believe both will be online, or maybe FS2, but that's how you can watch the games tonight. San Carlos, NYCFC. I think NYCFC, like we've talked about this earlier this week also with Charles, they're so quiet coming out of New York, right? I don't know if it's the fact that they know they're going to have to play at Rebel Arena next week, or if it's because the new coach and everything is just slow profile. They could be a sleeper in this. Of course, the draw they have is difficult. There's Tigres and Club America in the same part of their draw, so it's not necessarily going to be an easy road to the quarters or to the semis. But NYCFC, I'm excited to see them tonight. I'm excited to discover a new manager. That's what it is too, right? Out of these five teams, we have new managers, we have new players, teams that are evolving a bit. Atlanta, a bunch of new players, and that's kind of fun to watch. And tonight, we'll discover Ronnie Dela.
Yeah, look, NYCFC has been pretty stable compared to a lot of MLS teams this offseason, so I think maybe that's part of the reason we're not getting a lot of noise. I'm sure their PR staff have all been flown back to Manchester to deal with something else too, maybe. It's a bit of a joke, maybe. I don't know. It's certainly going to be interesting. San Carlos, the team they're playing, is an interesting story too, in the sense this is their first time into the Champions League. They are a club that kind of is relatively new, so it's fun to watch those stories come through, and that's the great thing about CCL in general, is that there's always something new. You get to learn about strange teams in Panama named Arab United. It's a weird competition, and it's beautiful, and San Carlos adds a little bit to that. Seattle's, I think I'm very interested to see Seattle, though, because they are the defending champs. And maybe it's because TFC was in that game, that it feels like I don't remember a season where the finalists have been less talked about in the offseason than this one, and that includes Seattle. In fact, it includes Seattle more than Toronto.
They Seattle won twice.
I think maybe it's just a case of people going, you know what you're going to get from them. And
I think it's fatigue. I think we're just tired of Seattle and Toronto. That's good. Like, yeah, Seattle won. Yeah. Next. Thank you. Next.
Yeah, MLS is a league in which X amount of teams depends on the expansion. Blah, 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 blah. And in the end, Seattle plays Toronto. That was the joke last year. So there you go. That joke's maybe getting a little overplayed. We just keep filling new names into it. But it happens again. I'm making it again this fall.
The German joke? The Germany joke?
Yeah, which is just, it's become a meme. You can just fill it in now.
No, it's worse than a meme. It's becoming a trope. That's how bad it is. That's how bad it is.
It's also an element of truth to it. It's happened to me in the last 4 years.
Well, guess what? Clichés? Usually they start because they're true. Otherwise, they just will not be a thing. On that note, Dwayne and I will go rest a bit. We had a late night with the CONCACAF Champions League. We'll have another late night tonight, of course. Once again, tonight we'll have San Carlos NYCFC and Olympia Seattle Sounders. 8 p.m. for the NYCFC game, 10 p.m. for the Seattle Sounders. If you're in Canada, it's on TSN Go, TSN app, tsn.ca. So. Their streaming services, and also if you are in the United States, Fox has the rights. Look for your either FS1, FS2, or Fox Sports app as well if you need to. On that note, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larame. If you want to know more about the Montreal Impact, you want to have a bigger deep dive into the game last night, go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. For more content, Two Solitude Soccer Podcast came out yesterday. Dwayne and I talked about the CONCACAF Champions League, the CONCACAF League, Ottawa, Atletico Ottawa we talked about, and the Women's U20 CONCACAF Championships that are getting underway, yesterday. And there's Canada plays its first game on a Saturday. You can follow that on One Soccer. And also, if you want to support what we do also, later today, a brand new interview that Dwayne and I did with Paul Stalteri, Canadian men's national team legend, Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, and new York 9 assistant, joined us yesterday for an exclusive interview, about 25-minute interview that you can find on the Patreon tier today. Also, $5 later today. So we appreciate your support, and there's a bunch of new content for you to enjoy on patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. But as always, until tomorrow, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Larame. We wish you a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.